Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. My mentor taught me this, and I asked him, could I teach this to our congregation? So I'm going to do that. It's helped me, and I hope it helps you. Specific title of the sermon, standalone sermon today, From Being Excluded to Being Included. From Excluded to Included. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official, in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. See, the guy was interested, one of the people that we're to reach out to. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Jesus, reveal to us the good news of the gospel. Help us to know how the good news includes us. We repent of the things that have excluded us. We ask for your help for the things that were out of our control that excluded us. And we honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one in your bulletins, if you'd like to follow along. The story of Simeon Bacchus. The story of Simeon Bacchus. Who is that? Well, from church history, we know that Simeon Bacchus is the name of the Ethiopian eunuch. We know this from one of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, from the second century, an early church father. Irenaeus was the disciple of Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of John, and John was a disciple of Jesus. Very good. And from Irenaeus and from Acts chapter 8, we have a pretty good understanding of who this Ethiopian eunuch is and his story. We know Simeon Bacchus. We know that Simeon brought the gospel from Irenaeus to Ethiopia. Simeon was born in the Nubian kingdom of Ethiopia. He was born approximately, Irenaeus tells us, around the same time as Jesus was born. He was a black African. He was a Gentile. He was from the poor class. In fact, he was a slave. At the age of around 7 or 8, he was taken as a slave, taken away from his family, and brought to the palace. He would never see his family again. Now, the first thing a slave boy that would happen to him when he was brought to the palace is, they would castrate him. Wow. So Simeon at 7 or 8 years old, castrated. He became a eunuch. See, eunuchs were used as servants or guards in the women's quarters in the royal palace in Asia and Africa and the Middle East. They were trusted to be among the women because they had been emasculated. Now, the Nubian kingdom where Simeon lived now, it was ruled by queens, the Kandake. Your version of the scripture that you read today may have said Candace. Did anybody say Candace? Well, it's the same thing. Kandake is where we get our English word Candace. It's not really a name. It's a title. It's like Pharaoh or Caesar or a president, whatever you so choose. So this is where Simeon Bacchus was raised. How much trauma Simeon endured. No family, a slave, wounded in his sexuality, and in a foreign environment. But Simeon rose above this. He was faithful in his job. He becomes a high-ranking court official. He becomes the treasurer for Kandake. He was the secretary of the treasurer. Pretty good job if you can get it, I guess. He was in charge of the money. He was well trusted. That's part of the reason eunuchs were trusted so. They were used this way because they had been taken from their families. They were unable to have families of their own. They had no real gender identity because they had been emasculated. They had no interest in power and palace politics because if you got power, you would pass on the power to your family. And being a slave and unable to have family of his own, he would have no interest in this, so eunuchs were trusted. So Simeon, he was loyal, but alone. He was trusted, but without a home. He lived in a palace, but he did not belong. Number two. Simeon becomes interested in the religion of the Jews. He was born around the time of Jesus, and this was probably somewhere 5 to 10 years after Jesus had risen from the dead. He would make him around the age of 40. So somewhere around the age of 40, he starts to be interested in the religion of the Jews. He knew the Jewish people. Everyone did, because the Jews had been scattered all over the known world because of persecution. He knew they worshipped only one God, Yahweh, Jehovah. And that was unusual because most of the world worshipped many gods. Not most of the world, the entire world, except for the Jews, worshipped many gods. But these Jewish people claim that Yahweh is the only true God. So Simeon became interested, and he began to read the scriptures of the Jews, which was fascinating in itself because most people could not read. But Simeon was well educated in the court of Candace, so he could read. Most people did not have access to books, but he being the treasurer, he had wealth to have access to books. So he begins to read the Bible and becomes fascinated by Yahweh. He starts in Genesis. You would start at the beginning. He begins to read some of these books, I imagine, and he reads how God creates all things good. And he knew some of the Ethiopian gods did not create all things good. In fact, they were involved with some very bad things. But he reads in Genesis how God created things good, good, very good. It was all good. And he sees Abraham going on a journey. He reads about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Then he gets to Exodus. And that's a fascinating book to Simeon because it is about a slave people, these Jewish people, the slave people, how God chooses them as his people, how Yahweh chooses these slaves as his people. Now, the gods did not choose slaves as their people. The gods would choose the best and the brightest and the most powerful and the richest. But this God, Yahweh, chooses a slave people. And that interests him because Simeon is a slave. Yahweh is turning everything upside down. He's choosing the lowest, the least. So Simeon is interested in this God. He begins to worship this God. He begins to pray to this God. The Jewish people would have called Simeon a God-fearer. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, an outsider who feared Yahweh. So why doesn't Simeon just convert to Judaism? You know, just go all in and become a Jew and belong to God's people. Well, he can't. You see, he keeps reading and he gets to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. And he reads this: "No one who has been emasculated by cutting or crushing may enter the assembly of the Lord." No eunuchs are allowed into the temple of God. No eunuchs are allowed into the sanctuary. No eunuchs can get too close to God's people. No eunuchs can be considered to be the people of God. So he has this law here in Deuteronomy 23:1, the law that is telling him about this guy, that is telling him he is excluded. He can worship God from afar. He can be a God-fearer, but he cannot enter into the assembly. He cannot be included. So he is loyal, but alone. He's trusted, but has no home. He's in a palace, but he does not belong. Number three. Simeon receives an inclusive word from a prophet. Simeon receives an inclusive word from a prophet. He knows he's excluded. He can't enter in because he is a eunuch. He's been emasculated. But he continues to study. He continues to worship the Jewish God. He continues reading. He reads Joshua and Judges and Ruth and the stories of the kings. He reads all of that. And then he gets to the prophets. And he's so interested by this, he actually purchases a scroll of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah. And this would have been very, very, very expensive to purchase a scroll. It would be like us purchasing a car. This is how expensive a scroll, a written word would have been. But he wants this. He desires to know more about this God, so he buys a scroll, his own personal copy. And he's reading Isaiah, and I believe he comes to a prophecy in Isaiah that Isaiah is giving about the temple, the assembly of God's people. Now, the temple, when Isaiah wrote his book, was in ruins. It had been destroyed by Babylon around 586 BC. But Isaiah has a dream that one day the temple is going to be rebuilt, and this is what is going to look like. This is what Isaiah dreams it will look like. Now, Simeon is worshiping God. He cannot belong to God because he has been emasculated. However, when he reads Isaiah 56, 1 through 8, and if you want to turn there, it's a very important passage for us, but also a very important passage for Simeon Bacchus. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. This is what the Lord says: "Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing evil. Let no foreigner," Simeon's reading that, oh, that's me, I'm a foreigner, I'm a Gentile, "who is bound to the Lord say," I'm bound to the Lord, I love the Lord, "the Lord will surely exclude me from his people." Oh, the Lord will not exclude me from his people, this new dream about a temple. "And let no eunuch," oh, that's Simeon, "let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree, For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, I've been doing that, Simeon says, who choose what pleases me, I try to do that, and hold fast to my covenant, I don't know what that is exactly, but I want to do that, to them I will give within my temple, and its walls a memorial, and a name better than sons and daughters. Simeon just had to jump when he read those words. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners, again, that's Simeon, who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord. That's me. I love the name of the Lord. I love the name of Yahweh. And to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath will, without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these will I bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. I will gather others. Not just Israel. I will gather others, the foreigners, the eunuchs. I will gather them as well. Well, that's what I want to do. I love the name of the Lord. I want to serve him. That's what I want to do. And he said he'll bring me to his house in Jerusalem. My house will be a house of prayer for all nations. He will make for the eunuchs a in the temple a memorial. Simeon was getting excited. That's good news. Apparently there's been a change. No one notified me. I wasn't allowed in Deuteronomy 23. But now Isaiah says things are going to change. I'm going to be let in. I'm going to be included. The Torah said no. But the prophet said yes. The Torah reported Yahweh as saying no to the eunuchs. But Isaiah reports Yahweh as saying yes to the eunuchs. How can that be? Well, see, the Bible is not a flat text. It's not just, you have to read all of it. You have to consider all of it. We'll say it says this here. It's getting us somewhere. It is taking us somewhere. It's not just a flat text. So Simeon is excited that it's not a flat text. Deuteronomy 23 says, I'm excluded. Isaiah says, I'm included. So number four. Simeon desired to go to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice at the Jewish temple. Simeon desired to go to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice at the Jewish temple. That's what he was doing in Jerusalem. That's why he went there. I got to go offer a sacrifice. Isaiah 56 said, my sacrifices will be accepted. I will be welcomed. I will be invited. There'll be a memorial there for people just like me. See, they had a famous temple now in Jerusalem at Simeon's time. It had been rebuilt. You know, Herod the Great, Herod the Builder had rebuilt this temple. And he said, that must be Isaiah's dream. This great temple that I've heard so much about, this must be Isaiah's dream. So I'm going to go there and be included. So he goes to the Queen Candace and he asks for her to go on a religious pilgrimage. And she trusts him. And she tells him, yes, you may go. And she trusts him so much, she sends servants, and she sends him with a chariot. And he's going to Jerusalem, and all the way to Jerusalem, he's got his scroll with him. he's got the scroll of Isaiah. That's his passport. That's his way in. That's his permission into the courts. That's his permission into the temple. That's his permission into the assembly of God's people. That's his permission to be included. So he arrives at the temple and he buys his animal to sacrifice and he goes to the temple and he goes in and there's a sign that says Court of the Gentiles. That must be where he enters. So he enters the Court of the Gentiles and he's about to go find a priest to offer the sacrifice and be accepted and find his memorial there when he sees a sign. There's a sign there that's carved in stone. And it's an archaeological artifact. You can look up this if you so choose. We know it was there. There was a sign, a warning written in Greek right outside the court of the Gentiles. And the sign said this, no foreigner, That's you, Simeon, no Gentile. It's to go beyond this barrier of the temple. Whoever is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his death, which will follow. He gets there and he's still not included. He gets there and he is still excluded by this sign, the depth of despair, bitter disappointment that must have come over him. He's come all this way, all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to be included, and there is still this barricade of bitter, hateful words that says you are not included. These words carved in stone, you are not welcome here, you do not belong, and if you try, we will kill you. That's how much he is excluded. Turns out Isaiah's dream is nothing more than a dream. That passage didn't come to pass. Isaiah was wrong. And he's crushed. So he returns to Ethiopia. Simeon is loyal, but alone. He's trusted. But he has no home. He lives in a palace, but he doesn't belong. Number 5. Simeon hears about a suffering servant who will include him. Simeon hears about a suffering servant who will include him. He leaves Jerusalem and he's going down toward Gaza. That's the first leg on the trip back to Ethiopia. He's riding in the carriage and he's got his scroll and he's reading Isaiah still. He's trying to figure out what went wrong. I was supposed to get in. I was supposed to be included. Isaiah 56 said so, but I got there and I was excluded. What happened? And he starts reading Isaiah 53. He's reading about this man who was excluded, this suffering servant, and he's reading out loud. It's a very modern invention, reading to yourself the last 200 years at the most. So he's reading out loud about this suffering servant, a servant of Yahweh, but this servant of Yahweh was excluded by the people of Yahweh. And he reads Isaiah 53, he was like a sheep led to the slaughter. That's being excluded. If you're like a sheep led to the slaughter. He was deprived of justice. He had no descendants. So Simeon had a lot in common with this suffering servant. He had been deprived of justice his whole life, taken as a slave, wounded in his sexuality, forced to live in a foreign country. No descendants. He would never have a family. So he related to this suffering servant. He was reading, been excluded, denied justice, trying to figure out what's going on, when suddenly he realizes there is a man running beside the chariot. And we're told it's Philip. Philip was a deacon of the church, Philip the evangelist. And Philip had been down in Samaria preaching when the Holy Spirit told Philip to leave Samaria and go down to the road near Gaza. And when you get there, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. So Philip starts running beside the chariot, and he hears this guy reading out loud the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And Philip is very familiar with this passage, so he asks the man, yells into the carriage, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And the guy's like, "Whoa." Simeon says, "Whoa, stop the chariot here." And he says, "Whoa, I can't understand this unless somebody explains it to me." Well, Philip goes, "Well, that's kind of my forte. That's really what I do." So Philip gets up in the chariot and he sits down and begins to explain what's going on. And Simeon asks him a question. Is the prophet Isaiah talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? And he said, well, that's a very good question. He is not talking about himself. He is talking about someone else. And I know the person he is talking about. He is talking about Jesus of Nazareth. A mighty prophet indeed, but more than a prophet. And he begins to explain the good news. He was born of a virgin, the very Son of God. He's come into the world to bring salvation. He preached the good news. He healed the sick, forgave all sinners who came to him. He lived a sinless life. At the age of about 33, he went to Jerusalem, to the very place you just came from. He went to the very temple that excluded you. He went to that place, and when he got in there, he didn't like what he saw in the temple. In fact, he hated it so much, he began to protest the temple. He began to flip over those tables that you saw where people were buying and selling, and he made a whip, and he ran all the animals out of there that people were there to offer sacrifices with. He protested the temple, and he said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves, but my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. And Simeon says, yeah, that's right. I read that in Isaiah chapter 56. And you know what else it says? It says people like me are supposed to be included. People like me are supposed to be accepted. And Philip says, they hated Jesus for the things he said. And they excluded him, the very Son of God. Like a sheep led to the slaughter, they took him out of the temple, took him outside the temple, and they beat him. And they crucified him. He was put on a Roman cross and he died. He, the suffering servant, was excluded. I guess Simeon maybe began to cry. Because if anybody knew what being excluded was, it was Simeon. But then Philip looks at him and says, cheer up, Simeon. On the third day, after he had been dead, Jesus of Nazareth rose again. And he's alive today. And we call him the Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Lord. And he is Lord over all. And he is building that very temple that Isaiah dreamed about. But now the temple is not made out of stones. It is made out of people. And whoever confesses Jesus is Lord and is baptized can be part of that temple, can be part of that assembly, and can belong to Jesus and his people. And so Simeon, with his mouth wide open now, excited, and says, he says, stop the chariot. He says, be baptized. There's water right over there. Let's stop it. Let's get out. He says, I got one more question for you, Philip. What is going to forbid me this time from being included? What's going to stop me this time from being included? What unknown disclaimer is going to stop me? What law am I going to read this time that's going to stop me? What sign chiseled in stone am I going to read this time that's going to stop me? And Philip says, nothing is going to stop you if you believe. And Simeon said, I believe. Philip says, well, come on in the water. And he baptizes him. And when they come out of the water, Philip is gone. That's strange, but it happened, it says. And Acts 8, verse 39 says, Simeon went on his way rejoicing. Which is exactly what Isaiah 56 said was going to happen. I will fill them with joy in my house. See, his house is no longer a stone temple in Jerusalem. His house is where all the baptized in the name of Jesus receive forgiveness, are welcomed, and included. Simeon found redemption. He found a place to belong. He found a home. He found inclusion. And he is the first convert to Christianity, first Gentile convert to Christianity in Scripture. And that's amazing. Because he was the ultimate outsider. He was excluded because of his ethnicity. He was a Gentile. He was from Ethiopia. He was excluded because of his sexuality, because he had been wounded in his sexuality. He was emasculated. He was left out. He never belonged, and he is the first one to belong. So when he was baptized, he fulfilled the dream of Isaiah. He fulfilled the dream of Jesus. And Irenaeus tells us that Simeon goes on to preach the gospel in Ethiopia. That's the good news. He was included. And everyone here today, we're not justifying sin, we're not justifying anything. But no matter what has happened in the past, no matter what has excluded you, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you're included. You're included. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to come to the table. I don't put a barrier, no barricade around the table. Some people do, some preachers do. I don't. It's not my table. It's Jesus' table. I guard the pulpit the best I can because that's what he's called me to. But I can't guard his table. It's his table. And he says, whosoever believe will come. So I'm going to invite you today. I'm going to ask Ben and Gary, if you'd come and take the plates, take the cup, take the bread. I'm going to ask everybody that can, would you come? Would you spread out all across the front here? Everybody who wants to be included, everybody who believes, if you just spread out across the front, and Gary and Ben will come down the aisle, and they'll give you the bread, they'll give you the cup. Hold on to those, and we'll take them at the same time. If you're physically not able, you can just come sit on the front row here, off to the side, and we'll make sure you get that. If you so choose, would you come? Just line up across the front, all the way across the front, and Ben and Gary will come to you. Come on over here. Come on down this way, and we'll make sure you get served. Let's just take communion together. Everybody's included. Everybody's welcome. Let's ask God to just forgive us of our sins, to forgive us for the things that have excluded us. Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us for the things that we've allowed to exclude us. Lord, we ask that you would just include us from the things that we had no control over. The places we were born, the things that were done to us, the things that have excluded us because of the circumstances in our life. We ask that you would include us. We believe. Would you just tell Jesus right now, say, I believe in you. I believe in you, Jesus. And if you said that, you're included. You're in. What's to stop you? Nothing. Come on in. The water's fine. Gentlemen, would you serve the people? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sing a new song.
Just hold on to the cup and the bread. We'll take together. Thank you, Jesus. You're included. You're included. If you believe, you're included. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Thank you, Jesus.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are
thank you, Jesus. You're included. You're included. You're included. Thank you, Jesus. You're included. You're included.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's to stop you from being baptized? What's to stop you from taking in this sacrament, the body and the blood? Nothing. If you believe, no matter how you've been excluded, if you believe, if you love the name of the Lord, you're included, you're included, you're included. There's no sign, there's no law. Moses came giving the law, Jesus came giving grace and truth. So there's no law, there's no sign that excludes you. You're welcome at the table of the Lord all the time. The broken body of Jesus ripped down the sign, fulfilled the law. For all of us who were excluded because of the law, because we were lawbreakers, He fulfilled the law. And He ripped down every barricade, every barrier that would keep us from God. By the broken body of Jesus. The body of Christ, broken for you, receive in Jesus' name. The blood of Christ that covers all of our sins. We've been damaged in our minds, damaged in our bodies like Simeon. Damaged in our spirit, we need something to cover us. The good news Philip preached to Simeon about Jesus covers us. He was excluded outside the temple, put on a cross so we can be covered, redeemed, and included. The blood of Christ includes you. The blood of Christ poured out for you, receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's the cup of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, so would you just thank Jesus now. Lord, we thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you this day. We thank you, oh God. Would you just thank Him that He includes you? You should have been excluded. I should have been excluded. Would you thank Him that you're included? And not because of what you did, because of who He is. He's the suffering servant. Lord, we thank you that you've included us. The law kept us out. We were lawbreakers, oh God. Others kept us out. There were barricades that kept us out, oh God. But you included us, so we thank you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Lord, may we go out of this place and be like Philip. You would help us to find people who are hurting, who are lost, who are strangers, who are interested. And somehow you would do amazing things as we're led by the Spirit. And we'll tell people that you are excluded, so they could be included. Help us to tell friends, neighbors, co-workers that they're included because you were excluded. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We honor you for the good news of the gospel, the good news that you've preached to us today. We thank you for one more opportunity together in your name to love you, to love each other. I just ask that you would bless your people, bless this congregation of people. That you would make your face shine upon every person here. That you would be gracious to every person here. And that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. the strong Son of God. Amen. Amen.